Morning, everyone. This morning, I want to cover some things. In some respects, we have covered some of this previously, but repetition is good, and on some of the principles of the Lord. But the title of such this morning was "You Can Live a Better Life in a Bitter World,"
mm-hmm.
and that
yes.
You can't do it alone. Try and do this with just your broken nature. It's not going to work. It's only with the indwelling of God's Spirit that you can actually have a different viewpoint. Now, complain, complain, complain. That's all some people do. Do you know people like that?
Mm-hmm.
They're the glass half empty. You know, we used to joke, sometimes my dad was a little bit of a complainer. And he's up in heaven now, so he's not complaining right now. He's rejoicing, but... he was one of those glass half empty people who used to say that you could give my dad $1 million and he complained that the ones were wrinkled. You know, so, you know, some people are kind of like that, but you know, when they have a heavy heart and they're not released and their burden isn't gone, yeah. I mean, everything's going to hurt. They're like burn patients, you know, they everything hurts when they just brush up against life. And God doesn't want us living like that. We're actually His children. We're children of the King. And I was like, whoa. So we can do things within an hour or 24 hours or 8 hours, and we'll have to see what God's going to be having for us today. So, but how can we live a better life in what seems to be a world that's kind of bitter? It's kind of full of evil. And there's only one way to do that, and that's a viewpoint. If you have God's viewpoint about the world and what's going on and where things are heading, then you're going to be okay. You're going to be full of hope and encouragement. And in your struggles, you're going to be able to get through them because He's going to give you hope. From God's perspective, all is well. He is not up there wringing His hands. Oh my gosh, the babies are dying and there's war and there's people. And, oh no. He's not. He's not up there wringing His plan. He has a plan, and we are all just chugging along really fine in His final chapter. But you have to be connected to Him. Doesn't mean you won't hurt here. It doesn't mean you won't lack here. It doesn't mean you won't be confused here. But here is not our final destination. So we need to, while we're here, have God's viewpoint. Now, don't get me wrong. There is the tragedy and hardship all around. I'm not diminishing that in any way. But there's also beauty and treasure and holiness. And I want us not to throw those things away. I don't want us to be the glass half empty people. We need to have God's viewpoint in every single thing. And it's what you train yourself to see and to think on. That's the key. This is something you have to practice, something you have to make yourself do, because the Adam nature every one of us was born with does not lean toward God. Your mind is enmity to God. That means an adversary, an enemy against God. You're born walking away from God because of what Adam did. That viewpoint and direction is changed because of what Jesus did. With His nature in you, you will walk towards God. So the training has to be based on what God says. The training has to be based on the Word of God. Remember, He says, put on the mind of Christ. That's the only way we're going to be able to have hope when there's upheaval. The only way we're going to be getting through tragedy and trials, because they will happen. This is not heaven, if anyone hasn't noticed. This is where things go wrong. And people are shaking their fist at God when He is not doing the tragedy and the trial.
That's right.
The disobedience against Him is what causes war. The disobedience against Him is the hatred and the unforgiveness. People not providing for their own is causing all sorts of tragedy with our children. Golly, disobeying God and His principles. That's what the tragedy is. You'll hear all over the place in our country, especially today, to the one much is given, much is required. That's the song. Why are you not also quoting what Jesus also said? The man who does not provide for his family is worse than an infidel. He also made a wonderful observation. You don't work. You don't eat. You can't have one without the other. This is a balanced existence. Yes, God expects much from those that he has given much. But he tells you to stand up, and he tells you to take hold of your life. But you can't do it without Jesus, and that's why so many are failing. And they're shaking their fist at the only one that can deliver them. It is the biggest deception out of the pit of hell that there is. But he is the great deceiver. So, now, I'm not talking when I say take every thought captive, when I'm talking about a viewpoint, when I'm talking about this and having hope in the midst of upheaval, I'm not talking about pie in the sky. All the positive thinking in the world is only going to get you so far. I mean, the world has its way of hitting trial. If you're angry, hit a pillow. I mean, you know, come on. There's only one way to deal with that anger. That's to be forgiven, washed, and cleansed, and have his nature rule you in that moment. That anger will not be there. You try and put it down all you want, but it isn't going to work. His nature inside. So a life in Jesus Christ covers every single thing and will truly make you better, not bitter. And what's the one letter in those two words? I. It's all up to you. You have to go to him. Now, those that are listening can't see this, but we're going to have a little PowerPoint of some pictures here. I wanted to show you. This is a little story. Some of you have seen this before, but it was a number of years ago, so you may not remember. But I want to have some of the... It's all how you look at things, and I want us to look... I'm going to go like that, and that means the next one, okay? So I don't have my clicker. I want you to look. This, some of you can see that. There's a gal over here, and she's in having some chemotherapy, and this is her fiancé over here. He's just kind of in a second little chair, like waiting for her to finish that. And her name is Katie Kirkpatrick. She's only 21 years old, and her fiancé, Nick, is 23. And this picture was taken prior to their wedding, January 11th in 2005. Katie has terminal cancer. And spends hours in chemotherapy. And right in this picture, you can see her boyfriend is just kind of relaxing in a chair while she's kind of sleeping because it's kind of hard on the, that. Now, look, you can see in the picture, she's bone thin. Precious. Even in pain and dealing with her organs shutting down, with the help of morphine, Katie took care of every single part of the wedding planning. Now, she's planning on getting married. She is literally, she's not living with cancer, she's dying with cancer. Her dress had to be adjusted several times due to Katie's constant weight loss. She has oxygen too, because she needs a little difficulty, has a little difficulty in her breathing. Next. An expected guest was her oxygen tank, and you can see in the picture, she's sitting there on a bench. She's in her wedding dress, her fiancé's in his tuxedo, their parents are looking on, and she had to use the oxygen tank during the ceremony and the reception. And it was very emotional, you see, for everyone to watch this particular thing. I'm getting to a point with this. I want you to see this, and I want it to really touch our hearts in terms of this. He fell in love with her when they were just young kids, and yet this tragedy came upon them. Next. Now, this is so powerful. Look at the smile on this girl's face. She's in a wheelchair. And she's listening to her husband and her friends. It looks like all the groomsmen are down on their knees and they're singing a song like you would at a wedding. So they're singing to little Katie. She's in there with her little oxygen tank sitting in a wheelchair. Next. Now, in the middle of the party, though, she had to pull off a little bit to the side and rest. She had to catch her breath. And pain doesn't allow her to stand for long periods of time. So here's a picture of her pulled away. The guests are all, you know, doing their thing at the party. She's got a little tiara on in her wedding gown, but her head is down. She's taking a little rest on her arms. Next. Katie died 5 days after her wedding. Whoa. She died 5 days after her wedding. To see a fragile woman dressed as a bride with a beautiful smile makes you think, wow, happiness is always there within reach no matter how long it lasts. Let's enjoy life and don't live a complicated life. Life is too short. Now, what's your outlook? What's your outlook? Now, just having seen those pictures, I know those listening online can't really see the pictures, but the magnitude of seeing that young, frail, bone-thin woman going through her wedding. They could have said, forget it, but they didn't. They loved each other. They wanted a wedding. She went through what she had to have that. And you saw the smile on her face. She was extremely happy. She had moments of happiness. That's all she had, but she went for it. And she dies five. So what's your are you a complainer? Are you one of these people who's a judge? You're a finger pointer? Do you live in self-pity city? What's going on in your own heart? Are you a doubter? These are traps. They're traps. And I want us to think about that. And I want those pictures of that young girl. She went for just a moment of happiness rather than letting the pain and the tragedy and the ugliness of cancer eat away at her thought process. She went ahead and lived for every moment that she could. Mm-hmm. We all have some sort of pain. Some of us have cancer of the past. Cancer of the hurts and the abuses and the things that have happened in your life. They're like things that can actually eat away at you. And God is saying, I am the cure for your emotional cancers. I am the cure for those things that are eating away. I am the cure for your bitterness. I'm the cure for your revenge. I'm the cure for your anger. I'm the cure for your hatred. That eats away at you. You cannot enjoy this life. You can't enter into the freedom that God's talking about. It is for freedom that I have set you free. Not for a free-for-all morally. That's the hedonistic leanings of our Adam nature. You need to crucify that. Even after you come to know Jesus and you are saved and you're washed of those sins, that ugly dragon in you is going to poke its head up. Every day it can, and if you feed it, it will live strong again. If you deny it and you starve it and you fight it by the power of Jesus Christ, then those cancers in you, those soul cancers, God's going to heal you of that. Mm-hmm. Now, whether you have 5 days left to live after you come to Jesus Christ, or you've got 55 years, it makes no difference. Mm-hmm. You cannot live this life, like Jesus said, without Jesus. This is so powerful. It's not a churchy thing. It's absolutely amazing. But religion has turned people off to God, not on to God. This is not religion. Christianity is not a religion. It is a relationship with the real God. Mm-hmm. And Jesus was not just another philosopher that flopped on the earth and came up with some way to seek him. He is the planted, timed, purposeful return of God to save his people. Whoa. And we use a broken thinker to try and figure out who God is and what he wants. There's like, what, 36,000 or 136,000, I don't know, I forget the number, of Christian denominations? Well, it started really early, folks. Paul said, what are you doing? Some of you are now following Apollos. Some of you are following Silas and Barnabas. You're not supposed to follow the person speaking. You're supposed to be led to Jesus Christ, the one who can save you. And yet, inadvertently, a side effect of our broken thinker, our broken wanter, and our broken feeler, we have all these groups of people. Well, you have to wear a skirt, you can't wear pants. Oh, you can't wear makeup and you can't wear jewelry. Oh, you can't have instruments. Oh, you can. You can sing. No, you can't. You can jump. No, you can't. What in the world are we doing? Here this woman had 5 days of life after her precious little wedding. Do we understand the value of taking this opportunity to come back to God and to live this life fully? It doesn't mean you're going to get a castle, so throw that idea out. You'll probably be in the castle, then lose it. Because he wants you for himself. He doesn't want you alone, but he wants you. And he knows that if there's anything in the way between you and him, he wants that out of there. Mm-hmm. And he is going to set up the circumstances over and over. Talk about a praying grandmother. God is much better than even a praying grandmother. Because he is going to search for you, seek you, call you. Because he loves you, no matter how bad you've been. It's not an excuse for your bad behavior. It's an expression of God's love. We're unable to do that. You tick me off, I'm going to be a little upset. I'll love you until you make me angry. You know, we don't have that ability. But the love of Jesus allows me to love those. I mean, a real love for those who have hurt me, those who have offended me, those who have come against me, those who have falsely accused me. I can't do that in the natural. My love will only go so far until those things start happening. But Jesus' love and grace extends beyond that. That's what I want for each one of us. Now, this previous story that we just saw, is there another thing there? I think we're finished on that. Yeah, okay. The previous story of those real-life examples of someone not letting those dire circumstances prevail, she was blessed with that small amount of happiness. What do you have in your life? You know, I've done a lot of marriage counseling over the time of being in a pastoring, and I've often shared with people, I say, listen, you can't look at what's wrong and broken. You got to look at just something. And if there's only one positive thing, I don't care if it's just, I love your eyes. I don't care what it is. You know, if that's the only thing good about them, just so that's the only thing you're allowed to say every day. You got beautiful eyes. And then shut your mouth about everything else. And in due time, it's going to work out. It will. It's a promise of God if you go to God. But sometimes there isn't anything good to find in there. But then sometimes that's your judgment too, based on your own brokenness. We want others to fill us in a way only God can. So everyone will fail us, so we're going to be upset with everyone. Whoa, wait a minute. That's exactly where the adversary wants us. That's a pretty dire situation. No one can ever meet our expectations. Of course we can't. We're all broken. It's like everyone's in a wheelchair and you're expecting the other guy to walk. Wait a minute. See, God wants us to have a different viewpoint. Now, I don't know what that young lady's spiritual foundation is, but I would bet money that she was looking to the Lord. I really would. And her circumstances, that huge dose of courage and happiness, that level doesn't come from our world. That level comes from God's world. So where are you in this ever-changing world? Are you bitter? Are you better? And how can we make sure that we remain steadfast in the joy of the Lord? I want us to just go over a couple of scriptures, okay? You have that in your handout today. The scriptures are outlined for you. In Deuteronomy 30, 9 and 10, so beautiful. The Lord says, then the Lord our God will prosper you abundantly. Whoa, whoa. Everyone automatically thinks, ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching. But you got to read the rest of the verse, okay? The Lord will prosper you abundantly in all the work of your hand, in the offspring of your body, in the offspring of your cattle, meaning your business, and in the produce of your ground. For the Lord will again rejoice over you for good, just as he rejoiced over your fathers. Then there's a big fat if. All those good things. Everything is blessed in the Lord if you obey the Lord. It doesn't mean that he chastises you, and it doesn't mean he throws you away. It just means that you're not in one with him. You're not going to get the flow of who he is. If you obey the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes which are written for you in this book. If you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and soul. Sitting in this church is not going to make you a Christ follower. Hopefully, it will open an environment for you that will encourage you to, but just attending is not the prerequisite to go to heaven. Nothing unclean can be in the presence of God. And you can only be cleaned by what Jesus did. He took the capital punishment for your crimes. So you've got to come under him. It's simple. That's why he called it the good news. And the good news is, newsflash people, you're born going to hell. Mm-hmm. And no one knows that. They're brushing over it. How come all this positive thinking? It's the cosmos. We're all one. Everything is true. How can it be true? How can it all be true? You can believe with all your heart, I've said this a million times, that there's one God. You can believe with all your heart, as many people do, that there's many gods. You can believe with all your heart that there's no God. But they all can't be true, because just one of them being true throws the others out. Well, I found truth, and it ain't in my head. It's deep within my soul and my heart, and that truth is, there is but one God. And he sent himself as Jesus Christ to pay for my sins. And when I come to him, I get that grace and that forgiveness. Oh, thank you, Lord. In 2 Chronicles 31, verses 20 to 21, and thus Hezekiah did throughout all Judah. And he did what was what? What did he do? This is the message from this verse. He did what was good, right, and true before the Lord his God. And every work which he began in the service of the house of God in law and in commandment, seeking his God, he did with all his heart and, key word, prospered in all of those things. Now, there's a whole bunch of people out there prospering. There's atheists that make a lot more money than we do all together, probably, in this whole church. Look, your success is not a measure. Your physical success is not a measure of where you are with God. The adversary often tricks people. Drugs and alcohol and money and sex and all the pleasurable leaning toward your personal pleasure, you being the God set up in your world. It's a trick. And yet you'll have more with Jesus Christ than you ever did. You'll have more spiritually, which ends up coming out physically. Does that mean people who are sick don't know God? No. Does that mean someone who had a leg amputated? Does that mean, you know, something's wrong with you and God? No. What about that poor girl with the cancer? She died. We've prayed for people in here for cancer and they died. We prayed for people in here with cancer and they lived. June's on 7 years. Mm-hmm. And Chuck's sister, you know, I'll tell you later, she just passed away yesterday morning from cancer. And we've been praying.
We had this operator from cancer 14 years ago.
Yes. I know. So it's not God playing games. It's not God choosing favorites. There's a plan, and because we don't know the plan, and because we're not privy to the greatness of that plan, we, in our broken thinker, come against it and say, well, there is no God. If these bad things happen, there is no God. He's up there going, hello, there's a lot of these bad things happen. I told you what happened because of the separation from me. We live on a cursed earth in a cursed body. Death has now entered in. Not only the death, meaning the separation, the darkness between you and God, but actual death of your body. If anyone hasn't noticed, you're rotting every day. Oh, that's terrible. We call it aging. But when you run it, really, it's rotting. And then you go until everything is so rotted you can't go anymore. The older I get, the more I rot. It's terrible. I hate it. Because see, when you're young, your body fools you. You don't eat right, you don't sleep right, you don't exercise right, you still got energy and all your muscles and joints work. Then you hit 40 and it all starts changing. Then you hit 50 and it really starts changing. 60, you wake up every morning wondering what's missing. But that wasn't because God made it that way. He made us superior. He made the body wonderful in oneness and cleanness and unity with God. The separation from him is what has brought all of this. Wars and death and disease and junk. Now that still is here, and we live on this planet, so we're still going to face it. But how you face it changes in Jesus Christ. You can prosper. Psalm 1, verses 1 to 3. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. Boy, God knows how to cover everything. But his delight, how blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. Now, that's not meaning rules. Here it was written for rules because they were before Jesus came and all they had was the law. Once you get Jesus Christ, it's a love in there. It's not rules. It's just that you are just as offended by that which offends God. And it doesn't happen overnight, but you'll grow in it. The closer you are to God, the further you'll be away from death and darkness. And not because it's a rule. It's because you go, yuck, I just don't want to do that anymore. It's yuck to me. What I used to savor and eat and lick up, it's yuck. And not because it's a law. When he's inside, his nature is, it's anathema. He is clean. That is filth. He will not wallow in it. It can't even be near him. So let him grow in you, people. Crucify the flesh. Let Jesus grow. He doesn't want you to feel holy. All the ablutions and the traditions and the ceremonies of the church world. People sitting all over this country and all over the world today feeling holy by what they're doing. God says, no, I want you to be holy by who you are. Let God rule in you day after day. And it says, if you do that, you will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water. Now, that's a good place for a tree to be. You don't have to worry about whether it's going to rain or not. You're right there by a raging river. You have the sustenance you need. And you're going to yield its fruit in season. Its leaf doesn't wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. We talk about prosperity. That doesn't mean riches. It means success. That original word, I wish it didn't come out as prosperity, because we think in English, especially in our country and a culture, money. Prosperity means success. You will have success being a husband. You will have success being a wife. You will have success being a mother. You'll have success being a father. You'll have success being an employee, employer. You'll have success. And you will prosper. Now that should really encourage us to keep us from drinking from these bitter waters that are around. And it gets even better in Psalm 23 verse 5. He says, you prepare a table before me, God, in the presence of my enemies, even in the midst of all this garbage. God's table is in the midst of all that. Just like earlier we heard that testimony from Helen Baylor. She was living in the midst of the entertainment world and the drug industry. Her boyfriend was a cocaine dealer. She was getting free garbage until her heart opened up to God and the light turned on. And she said, what am I doing? Right in the midst of the enemies, God will prepare a table. She was able to, in Christ, to walk away from that which had ensnared and trapped her for years. And it wasn't a matter of her personal strength at putting away drugs. I, as a nurse, and I've seen this medically over and over again, there's very few that can put it away. A draw is too much. I swear, the first time someone takes drugs, and I hope the young people will listen, I swear to God, an evil spirit comes with it that puts such power in you, such dependence in you, such need in you, and it's not even you, it's them in you, laughing and mocking and scoffing, knowing they control your entire body. Whereas you can ask Jesus Christ to come in and have the clean spirit control your body. What a difference. People are using their own willpower, their own understanding, to try and kick things that they never will. They give up because they keep losing. They're using the wrong motor. It's like trying to take a fly swatter to something that you need a nuclear bomb on. In Psalm 23, 5, it says that that table is prepared right in the midst of your enemy. You've anointed my head with oil. It says, my cup overflows. That girl that was smiling at her wedding, suffering with cancer, her cup overflowed, and it wasn't her. Does your cup overflow? Is it overflowing with honey? Or is it overflowing with vinegar? These scripture verses give us an indication of something. If we want better instead of bitter, we need to obey God. Mm-hmm. That's the key. Mm-hmm. But I can't, it's too hard. You can't, and it's too hard because you're trying to do it with your nature. You're trying to run a marathon on stumps. You need legs. Jesus is the only one that can do that. Now, reading, memorizing, meditating upon the word, they're great refreshers. When you're washed in the blood of Jesus, and that sounds funny to people who don't understand it. Oh, gross, blood of Jesus. Meaning, he died, his blood flowed, it shed, and in God's eyes, that paid back for all of mankind's garbage, but you got to come under it. Now you're cleansed once for all time, sealed by the Spirit of promise. But what happens is that you pick up road dirt along the road, along the life, along the journey, along the way. You get this stupid idea comes by, this stupid feeling comes back, these things. So when you get into the Scripture daily, it's not just some religious, stupid, monk-like thing. Nothing against the monks. It actually washes you by the water of the Word. Reading the Scripture is going to help not save you. It's going to help wash off the dirt that comes on you after you're saved. It'll lead you to Jesus, and it'll keep you with Him. Do it over and over. Not just here. Don't listen to a few verses on the radio, a couple of verses at church or Bible school or Sunday school. This is your life with Him. You take it. If you're by yourself, read it out loud. If you're married, read it with each other. You both need to hear that, because if you're married, then you're husband and wife, and sometimes mother and father. You need that covering, because you have jobs to do different than single people. And single people have jobs to do different than you. So every single one, no matter what condition, you need to read it out loud. Your ears need to hear it. Your soul needs to absorb it. Keep going, keep going, keep going. And I kind of want to sum it up. Obedience to the Word of God gives you the following. You'll be treasured by God. And I'm not going to go over all of the scriptures. It's in your handout there. You'll be treasured by God, Deuteronomy 19:5. You'll have blessedness and happiness in life, like that girl in the story, Psalm 119:1-2. You'll be warned of evil ahead of time, Psalm 19:7-14. You'll not be ashamed, Psalm 119:4-6. You'll have understanding, Psalm 119:97-104. You'll have safety and freedom from anxiety, Proverbs 1:33. You will have life, John 8:51. I say those scriptures because those listening may want to write them down. They don't have our handout today from our handout that we gave you at the beginning of church. You'll have assurance of salvation, 1 John 2:3-6. You'll have the presence of God, John 14:23. You'll have eternal life, 1 John 2:17. And you'll have entrance into heaven, Revelation 22:14. Whoa. Now, that's a lot to be absorbed, I understand. But the point being, the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world is everyone else other than you. The flesh is you, and the devil is that evil presence that is there. It is real. It exists. All of those things are destined to make you bitter about the bad things that happen to you. Even some of the good things. That glass half empty type personality. We can be so skewed in our outlook that even good things can't make us feel or be better. We all know this. We've had those times in our lives. We know people like that. They're trapped. God says He doesn't want you to feel holy, but to be holy, as we previously mentioned. And you will reap everything that we just discussed. And He tells us to set our affections on things above. It doesn't mean, angel wings and streets of gold. People up there, they have, you know, a whole bunch of people think there's going to be 72 virgins up there waiting for them. I mean, you're going to go to heaven and screw a bunch of women? What are you thinking? What kind of a God do you think you're serving? Good grief, there's a purpose for what God has in a wonderful physical relationship, and that ain't that. Jeez. There's going to be wine flowing and all the booze you can drink. What are you talking about? You see, we are so limited. We think that all sex, alcohol, and drugs and running around, we think that's what fun is. Oh my gosh. We are so limited. The things that are against God are going to come against us all day, every day. It ain't going to stop. That's the devil's job, 24/7, till you die. And when you get saved and come into a relationship with God, guess what? You think He says, oh, well, lost another one. He is going to come after you even harder. You have a target on you right now. You are now his enemy. Before you were his friend. He just either blessed you or lamb blasted you. Whatever his ugly choice was. You come to Jesus Christ, you are enemy to him. You are going to be assailed more. Be prepared. Wake up. Get a revelation. Setting your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. Excuse me. There's no way you can stay bitter and not get better. When you realize that in Jesus Christ you have the love of God, I don't care if my voice gives out, I'm going to go, and I'm going to give you the rest of this. In Jesus you're going to have the love of God, blessedness and happiness, warnings of evil, assurance and not be ashamed, understanding, freedom, safety, help from God. Here, you don't have to wait till you get in heaven. That's when you're complete. There's going to be no help needed. You're going to be full. You're going to be experiencing everything he does in timeless eternity. Glorious. And he says, your eye has not seen and your ear has not even heard what I have yet awaiting for you. He does talk about food. He does talk about animals. He does talk about a different life and existence. New heaven, new earth. Going to be better than even anything we've ever known down here. This is stained and cursed, remember. I'm going to be hiking and I won't have to carry a big pack. Because the water's going to be clean. I won't need any filter. I'm going to have fruit from any tree and shrub and whatever. It's going to be great. Whatever you like to do. Unless it was foul and of the flesh. You know, people say, well, God made marijuana, you know. I say, well, you forgot one thing. No, he didn't. He made all wonderful plants. But after the curse on the earth, the mushrooms became nutty. And some of the plants made you even nuttier. No, he didn't make that garbage. Curse made that garbage. Don't partake of the curse. You'll have God's presence, eternal life, and entrance into heaven. How much more do we need to get going? What a great God that we serve. He is so marvelous, so marvelous. So let's make sure that we have a better life and not a bitter life. But it's all in Jesus Christ. God bless you.